Okay, first to get dessert, you have to have dinner, right? And if you eat all your vegetables, then we'll give you dessert. Well, just like the show, you have to sit through Dick Wyson talking about the media and all the real the dessert, which is Trish's Trash. That's coming up here, backed by popular demand, so hang tight. I didn't mean that the way it came out, Dick. I really like this segment.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
This isn't really broccoli. This is broccoli with, like, real butter, all right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Every Monday, he's our media critic, and he's longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, retired a few years ago, 20 years at the Metro section. Also, his website, weisswrite.com, weisswrite.com. Dick, I started off the show today talking about this article in the New York Times, a new survey by the John F. Kennedy School of Government. It says kids aged 18 to 30, only 16% of them read the newspaper.
I saw that.
Is that scary?
Yes, it's very scary. And I, over the years at the Post-Dispatch, I was in charge of trying to attract younger readers. And
right.
Obviously, I failed. Abysmally.
Well, only 35% of adults over 30 read the newspaper.
Yes.
Now, does that mean that younger kids tend not to read, and as they get older, they tend to pick up the newspaper? Or is that 30-year-old a generational shift to where people below 30 just aren't going to read the newspaper?
Yes, I think it's a shift. Some studies have shown that if you don't get readers in the age, I think it was between 13 and 17, they will never become avid newspaper readers. And I got into reading the paper through baseball,
right,
which you probably did as well.
Sure.
And you'd go to the sports page, and then pretty soon I was my sister. I noticed my sister was reading Ann Landers,
right.
And I remember reading Ann Landers giving advice about older kids who suck their thumbs,
right.
And I was sucking my thumb as I was reading Ann Landers, wondering what's wrong with me. And so then I was hooked into the feature sections and the funnies, and then eventually
right.
You gravitate over. Now, as you get a little bit older and you are reading the paper and you're a tax-paying citizen, you're very interested in what government's doing with your money. But if you aren't kind of, if you don't make the newspaper part of your day and you have a regular time, you sit down with it, then you don't get into newspapers.
But I've also
studies have shown.
Since we battle this as well, and that you want to make the newspaper more relevant to young readers, that doesn't mean putting in Sesame Street stories, right? But I mean, what 10-year-old is going to want? What story can you write about a 10-year-old that a 10-year-old might find interesting, instead of placating to the 10-year-old? Have the 10-year-old read up, as opposed to have the reader the writers write down. Does that make any sense?
Right, yeah. Kids basically do not like to be patronized, and they also want to read material that is a little bit older than them.
Right.
10-year-olds when Britney Spears was a little younger, they were into Britney Spears, who was, you know, 18, 19 years old.
Right.
And 10, 12-year-olds were reading about her. And so that's one thing you want to do. They tend to like to read things written by their peers or people just a little bit older. And what I've had some success with, I wrote a piece about writing for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the first line of my story began, "Parents lie." And that got a lot of kids into it. And I explained, you know, they told you your booster shot wouldn't hurt. They told you about, you know, the medicine would taste good. And the other lie they tell you is that as long as you hold on to your hopes and dreams, you can become a big success. And most kids want to be professional football players, and they never will be.
Right.
You can be a writer.
How come the Post never hired a 21, 22-year-old, 24, 28, 25-year-old columnist?
It was that young. Part of the problem is there's a sort of to do a column, you need some sense of perspective and maturity and so
right.
on. And I remember there was one young man that was hired in the feature section who began an anonymous blog in which he made fun of the 180th cases.
Right.
And it was a rather
a bit
of a scandal.
Well.
And he was packed off to, I think, Des Moines or Dubuque.
So. All right. So anyway, but I just say what you want about newspapers. I can't imagine a better value. 50 cents, they deliver the world to your door, every morning by 6 o'clock. It's the greatest
right.
value in the world.
Yes, and sometimes we have good papers and some...
Yeah, but that'd be impossible. Well, anyway, all right. What happened yesterday on Meet the Press?
Meet the Press, a St. Louis moment, a Missouri moment. Dick was on, and he's written a book called The Prince of Darkness.
Right.
And
by the way, let me plug on with Mark Christopher here coming up real soon.
Oh, so great.
Not necessarily today, but in the next few days.
Okay, well, Prince used his book to reveal some of the sources that he had relied upon over the years. In many cases, he got the permission of those sources to reveal their names. And Eagleton was a source for Novak many years ago when George McGovern looked as if in 1972 he was going to win the Democratic nomination. And Novak called Eagleton and asked him for his assessment, Eagleton being a fairly liberal Democrat himself. And Eagleton said that McGovern probably didn't have a very good chance because most of America had not yet learned that he was for legalizing marijuana and amnesty and abortion. And Novak turned that around a little bit and said that McGovern was the candidate of amnesty, abortion, and acid. And quoting this source, okay?
Right.
And... So he went back, and of course, Eagleton later joined the ticket.
Eagleton later became the vice presidential nominee.
Yes,
and then he had to
drop out because it was later learned that he had had some shock therapy for depression, and McGovern asked him to leave the ticket because it would be a distraction in the campaign, and he needed to win more than one state, which is what he actually ended up winning. One state.
Minnesota.
Was it Minnesota or Massachusetts? I can't remember which.
Okay.
Not even his own state, South Dakota. So a lot of people accused Novak of fabricating this source. Novak just said it, and he wanted to, in his book, he wanted to reveal it was Eagleton who gave him this information. So about 2003, a few years ago, he gets in touch with Eagleton, and he says, "Do you mind if I mention your name?" In association with this, and Eagleton said, "I was off the record then, and I want to remain off the record now." Okay? Then Eagleton dies, several months ago?
Sure, right.
Novak feels he's now free, now that Eagleton's dead, to reveal the source, which I'm not so sure is appropriate or ethical.
Really?
Yes.
So Eagleton said to him, no.
No, I don't want this, out.
And right.
I don't know that they had a discussion about, well, look, Tom, I know you're in poor health, and if you should happen to croak, is it okay? But Novak went ahead and used it anyway.
I think that once a source dies, I think you're allowed in for history's sake to release that promise.
You think so? Yeah. I have some misgivings about it. I think it would depend, it would be situational, that it would really depend how strongly that person felt about it. And maybe it's something you could discuss, although it'd be hard to imagine. You know, in 2005, you say, look, this is off the record now. Is it off the record until
you're dead?
Death do us part?
Right.
Or is it in perpetuity? I guess they didn't have that discussion, and it'd be kind of an awkward thing to bring up.
Yeah, I guess, because when you go off the record is two different things, though, really. Because off the record is don't report it.
Right.
And off the record is don't use my name.
Right.
So you have to get those ground rules as well.
There are so many gradations in Washington
right.
of these things. It's it can be very confusing to people.
But I do find, you know, Bob Novak is in the middle of quite a bit. I mean, that guy's been around for a while.
Yes, and I think that's why they call him the Prince of Darkness.
Yes, all right. we have enough time. Let's get to this one more story about the Chicago newspaper, the Chicago television reporter, who is covering a story about a man whose wife is missing. This is before the cops announced that he was a person of interest. And she is seen at his house in a bathing suit with her kids. And she was caught on film by another television station. She was ultimately fired.
Fired, yes.
Did she break some type of ethical code by this?
Well, if you want to really set your clock on this thing, no less a moral authority than Geraldo Rivera.
Yes.
Called for her dismissal.
Well, okay. Never mind.
So, I hope that answers your question. But I think... that if it had not been caught on camera, and her bosses had found out about it, they probably would have brought her in and told her, you know, don't do that again. That doesn't look good, or it wouldn't look good if you got
caught. On tape.
But since it got caught, it became this big issue about what is she doing there and what's this all about, and it took the made her the story instead
right.
of what was going on with this case. And, you know, the other TV station who got her on camera took a lot of flack for that, because what are they doing, kind of doing a kind of a peeping Tom thing into this guy's backyard?
Right.
Well, they said they hadn't been in the area doing a story on this, talking to neighbors. They just happened to notice her in the bikini and
use
the telephoto.
She got the shaft on this, because I would have done the same thing. I probably would have not necessarily worn a two-piece, maybe
right.
more of a one-piece myself.
Right.
But in all seriousness, you want to get close to the subject you're covering. And
yes.
if the person invites you over to the house with the kids, I've got a pool, come on over, you're going to go because you're going to get some type of access that you wouldn't necessarily get in a news conference type setting.
Right. And she's known to be a very aggressive reporter who has wandered into some gray areas before. The other thing that she was doing was she was apparently sharing some of the information that whatever she was learning about this man with cops. So she was a source for the cops. Now, why would you want to be a source for the cops? Because if you give them some information, they will in return give you some as well. And so there's this little...
Is that unethical?
Well, it can be. It can be because you're basically, we're in the news business, we're not agents for the police.
Right.
So, but there is a little bit of a gray area there where you say, well, you know.
But that happens all the time, though, right?
Yeah, it does, you know, under the radar.
Right, right.
That
yeah.
happens a lot.
All right, what's the best story we've never read this week?
Well, it's a very sad story. It's in the LA Times over the weekend. There were a bunch of, back in the 80s, as many of your listeners will recall, a number of children were infected with HIV through tainted blood transfusions. And the LA Times went back, now it's been 20, 25 years, to find out what happened to the babies that were infected at LA's Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Many of them died, but many are still living. And there's the story begins with the story of a 25-year-old who learned, actually, when he was 16 that he had HIV. His mother kept it a secret from him because they were able to... And he said, Mommy, why am I taking these drugs? Well, you've got a kidney infection.
Right.
And so on. And he is, he's trying to find out more about this. And, he hooked up with a father of a child who did die. And they, feel that, Cedars-Sinai, covered up some of the information that they should have had. And, many of the other children who did survive are keeping it a secret because they still feel that if you have HIV, you're stigmatized and shunned in this society.
That's one of the best stories you've never read. That's each week. Dick Weiss has it, and you have a link on your website, weissright.com. Also from my website, themcgrawshow.com. You can go to weissright.com and then read that story as all the other stuff on the website. Dick, as a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.